It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
What's up?
Oh, you know how it is. Same old.
You know how we do.
I like you're trying some new intros, some new openings.
We're doing something. We're just trying something a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never know how to start. I don't know.
Got to keep the kids interested. I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do with these. What should I do with these?
I'm not sure what to do with my hands. Yeah.
Dorktober is over, but that means it's now Movember, and I know that's a pretty important month to you. You got a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. The good people of Movember have let me partner with them, so all of my streams that are coming at you this month that will be in lieu of donations and bits and subscriptions. If you click any of the links on www.twitch.tv/ArvonD, you'll see some graphics and some info. Click on any of those, it'll take you right to my page. So in lieu of any of that stuff, how about a donation? You know, it's a good
Why
cause.
Not?
They're one of the good charities. No, they're one of the good charities.
Right.
They're not like one of those like fake ones. You know, if you can check out all their financials at Movember.com, see how they get down. They're good people and they've done right by me. So please help them out. Help the cause. Raise awareness for men's health. All that good stuff.
It's all good. Ryan, let's get to the news.
Hit it.
Ryan, I did not see this movie. I know you did not see this movie, but Bohemian Rhapsody is in theaters now. It was number one at the box office, made $50 million, rocking a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's funny, just on Twitter, from people that I follow or people who have been retweeting people or whatever, it seems very split. And it's like people either love it or hate it. It doesn't seem like there's too many people in between.
And the problem I have with it is I tweeted out, like, just go and watch Queen's set at Live Aid 1985, and you'll see what this band's all about. You don't need to spend 2 hours. You can just watch Freddie Mercury absolutely dominate 80,000 people in one go, and it's pretty incredible to watch. From the people I know who saw it, their issue with it was the movie's is very suggestive of things that Freddie Mercury did, but doesn't go there, if you know what I mean.
I also guess like they bend the timeline, and it's like you don't like the story is probably interesting enough on its own. Like, I don't know why you need to change certain events.
So listening to Rami Malek talk about it, and I guess the people were raving about his performance, not so much about the movie, but how he did as Freddie Mercury. From listening to him talk, he says the band, and he says it like completely diplomatic, but he's like, the band had a lot of input on this.
Yeah.
And I guess they were on set like constantly. So I think they might have whitewashed it a little bit.
Well, so what I also heard was, I forget who was talking about this, but I guess Sacha Baron Cohen, who of course everybody thought was going to play Freddie Mercury and would have been a dead ringer for Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
I guess he was on Howard Stern a while ago and he was talking about how like the band did have a lot of input on the movie, and they were talking to him about it, and they were like, all right, so like, they wanted to continue to, they thought it was a Queen movie. Like, they didn't think it was a Freddie Mercury movie. They thought it was all about Queen. So they're like, all right. And so that's when Freddie passed away. But then we got to do like, you know, what happened with the rest of the band. And Baron Cohen's like, well,
I don't think so. I remember listening to that interview on Stern and he was like, yeah, they killed Freddie Mercury like halfway through the movie.
Yeah. Like, sorry, guys.
Freddie Mercury dies of AIDS. Unfortunately,
he does. And I also feel like that's maybe a good spot for the movie to end. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's just how it is. And like, maybe it's not fair, but usually the lead singer or maybe a really charismatic, you know, lead guitarist or something, they're sort of the leads. Sorry. That's just what it is.
Well, now they have Adam Lambert, you know, American
good
Idol.
Good.
Oh, he's incredible. But like, I'm just telling you, YouTube Queen Live Aid 1985. And it's like a six, seven song set. And it's just incredible. So check that out. That's all you need.
I'll probably eventually give this a watch, but it's not a theater movie for me.
No, absolutely. I'll watch it, but it's not a theater movie for me either.
Hey, Ryan, if you like watching things at home, there's good news because Batman the Animated Series is now finally out on Blu-ray.
Yay.
Get in on that.
Yay, Blu-ray. Who buys DVDs?
I don't know. I haven't bought them in a long time. I spent way too much money on DVDs back in the...
you and I both did. We're done. We've outgrown DVDs. We're better than DVDs.
I've moved on from DVDs. I'm an adult. I now buy Funko Pops.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Hey, Ryan.
Yes.
True Detective Season 3 had a trailer. The show comes out January 13th. This is one of those ones where they have a real chance here. Season 1 was awesome. Season 2 is terrible. So Season 3 is a perfect tiebreaker for True Detective.
And I would say that the first season of True Detective with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson might be one of my top 10 single seasons of a television show.
I don't blame you for that at all. It was very good. Very strong. I enjoyed the whole thing. Now, the ending, I think, going back to that show, it was just so good that I don't know what the perfect ending would have been. And I remember a lot of people feeling kind of being let down a little bit because it didn't have like a super powerful ending. But the show itself was awesome. I love how it was told. I love the whole thing. It was great.
It had everything you could have wanted in an adult cable drama. It had like really good action, like super suspense. It was thought provoking and wonderful nudity.
Sure, wonderful. It was. And I thought, Ryan, if you're asking, tasteful.
Oh, it was completely tasteful. Tasteful.
My favorite kind.
There was intrigue.
Yes.
Spooky at times.
I thought so, sure. A little spooky.
Had a bit of a Seven vibe to it at times.
Did it have any macabre?
A little bit.
A little bit, sure.
That Bayou macabre. I don't know how you say it. Well, that macabre is French. Macabre.
Yeah, that's probably just it.
Yeah,
it was. It was. Yeah, I think it was definitely a little scary at times. But yeah, Seven's a good. It did have a Seven feel to it.
Yes, it did.
Very nice. Very nice. Ryan, It Chapter 2 is done filming. And according to an interview, Bill Hader, who is in the film, says it's surprisingly emotional. I don't really know what that means.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know what that means either, because. Having read, I don't want to, be the guy who says having read the book.
Well, but you're that guy. That's okay. Embrace it.
I don't want to be that guy.
Lean into it a little bit. You're not that guy.
No, the book was not that emotional. It was very creepy and very weird.
Crass.
At times.
It was crass.
Oh, yeah. You had like kid orgies and stuff. It was really
weird. But, not for me.
I didn't make it up. That was just the book.
No, it's one of the great writers of our time.
Yeah. And, I don't know how you spin that into emotional, but I'm dying to see it. I can't wait to see it.
I'm looking forward to that. Oh, by the way, I was doing just a little bit of dork research, and I was looking ahead to films that are coming out in 2019. Let me be the first to say it right now. 2019 is going to be better than 2018 at the cinema.
Ooh.
There's all kinds of movies that you're going to want to watch. Because I was also – this is a bit of a brief detour, but – 2018 movies, I've seen probably close to 20 that have come out this calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Infinity War is the only six stone movie I've seen.
Ooh, not Black Panther?
Nope.
Did I give that a six?
I don't remember. I mean, I could go back and listen to what I gave it to. I don't think I did. And if I did, I would take it back. But I think that's probably the second best movie I've seen.
What? Okay, you go ahead, you talk.
No, I was just going to say that was the second best. And, like, obviously for my list, it's really dominated by, like, comic book movies. Like, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Deadpool 2 are, like, up towards the top. But those movies were all good. But I'm looking ahead to next year, and you got another Avengers. You got another Star Wars. You got movies like It Chapter 2. Like, there's a bunch of sequels, which I guess every year there's always sequels. But then there's, Glass comes out next year.
Yeah.
And I forget. I was just going through it. I'm like, the other Spider-Man, Captain Marvel. I was like, wait a minute. We got a whole bunch of stuff.
I hope we live that long. I hope we live that long.
I do too. No, I'm definitely rooting for everybody that listening to this is able to see some of those films next year.
Absolutely.
Speaking of films, Ryan, maybe you can explain this to me. Now, I have not watched The Walking Dead yet this year.
Sure.
But I plan on, because I've seen every other episode going into the season, I'll eventually go back and watch a bunch of them. But this isn't even a spoiler because they've been announcing this like crazy, trying to get people to watch.
It's been all over the news. Yeah.
But Rick Grimes, played by Andrew Lincoln, is done. But apparently, there's a story that he is going to star in multiple Walking Dead movies for AMC.
They are just going to bleed this thing dry, aren't they?
It's already dry. It's dry.
They
what
are
is
just
that?
Like got, movies? They got both hands on it and are just squeezing this sponge of this show until the last drip of whatever comes out of it.
I don't need a Rick Grimes movie. Thank you very much.
I'm hearing, what's it, Norman Reedus is making like $1 million an episode now.
Wow. Good for him.
Like, that's like Seinfeld money. Like, that's crazy.
That is. It's like Friends.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think the Friends were all friends?
I don't know. Yeah. I know the Sex and the City ladies did not get along very well. Kim Cattrall was a bit of a troublemaker. You know,
The woman from Police Academy?
She was in Police Academy, the original Police Academy. And then she went on to have booming success with a little movie called Mannequin. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I missed that. Oh. That one slipped through the cracks.
Oh, what a wonderful film.
Yeah.
In which she is the mannequin.
Now, let me ask you this. Tasteful?
Mm-hmm. No, there's nothing about that movie that's tasteful. That movie is completely in bad taste.
All right. Well,
except
Ryan, that's
for the song. Except for the song Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. They of the We Built This City fame.
Yes.
The band that was once Jefferson Airplane, which is a very big psychedelic band in the 60s, went on to make We Built This City and Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. Two terrible 80s songs.
Do they do the song White Rabbit?
Yes, they do. So that's the same band. Can you believe that?
I like that song, though.
And I'm
not into the psychedelics. I don't want to be a prude, but I'm not really a psychedelic kind of guy.
Well, this has been Davey's 80s Music Minute.
And that's the way the news goes. Ryan, let's get to your news.
Let's get to the real stuff.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have now?
We get some odds and ends here a little bit. Overwatch news, Richard. Our season is complete. You and I are very disappointed at our standing last season, so we need to kind of pick up. And one of the ways I plan on doing that is they've introduced a new character,
Richard. Oh, I saw her. She looks quite lovely.
And a little peek behind the curtain tonight on twitch.tv/ArvonD. We're going to be doing a little preview of Ash, the new character. She's like female McCree.
Yes.
And she has her ultimate. She has a butler named Bob, who you shoot at people, and he has machine gun fists. So it looks a little bit like
Gunjack.
He does a little bit look like Gunjack with a little handlebar mustache. So that's fun.
Yeah, maybe that was P-Jack.
Yeah, who knows? Who at this point? And the other bit of news I have, so there was a bit of a controversy. BlizzCon. So the people at Blizzard were teasing this new Diablo title, which people love their Diablo. I play Diablo. I love it. I think it's great. And they're like, they're pumping this big thing. And people were just assuming that they're going to port it to Twitch. I mean, the Switch, which is great. So now you can play Diablo on Switch. And they did that. And they're like, all right, here's the new title. And people are like leaning in and they're like, it's a mobile game. And everyone was like, what?
No.
Like, pass. What? You brought us all the way out to the convention to like, your big thing is, like, you're a mobile game?
Rough.
So people were pretty upset with that. So
not great. I was going to say, do you have that little bit of Fortnite news that came out today?
Oh, that they're all had the NFL jerseys and stuff?
Yeah, they're teaming up with the NFL. That made big news in the old sports world. People were all flutter about that as well.
Yeah, if you were checking out Ninja's stream, who is a big Detroit Lions fan.
There you go.
He was sporting some Detroit Lions stuff. And I guess the big thing is you can change the number on the jersey.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is nice.
So you have a bunch of 69s running around out there.
Yeah, or you can go 24. You can tie Law.
You can tie Law. Or you can go, maybe Ninja's going to go 84 for Herman Moore.
Maybe.
He was a nice receiver.
Maybe. So there's that. And the last bit of news I have is the big Nintendo. We don't give Nintendo people enough love on this podcast.
No, that's true.
I'm aware.
That's a good point.
So they did have a big announcement with the new Smash Brothers title, which is touting 74 characters.
Jesus, what is this, Infinity War?
It's a lot. There's a story mode now, I guess, that features Kirby.
I heard that. Yeah, wasn't Kirby the only guy who didn't die?
Yeah, he's the only guy who didn't die. And he's also... he's basically, if you talk to anybody who plays Smash Brothers, he is like the odd job of Smash Brothers.
Right. Yeah. That's
like if you use Kirby, you're cheating.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So some of the characters they're including now, I guess Ken from Street Fighter is in there.
Okay.
There's a couple of the Pokemans. I know you like the Pokemans.
Sure. Who doesn't? My nephews are all about it.
All about the Pokemans. So, I don't know. This game might be fun. It's a little bit of a button masher. I never really got into Smash only because we were such big Tekken guys, and it seemed kind of silly to me. Yeah. But there are people who still play.
People love it. Yeah.
They love it, and they still play the one on, what's it? The must be the Wii or the Wii U. And, the, oh, what's the other one? The Cube there. The Dream Cube. The Cube.
Just the Cube, yeah. Nintendo Cube.
It was called something else. I don't know. But
GameCube?
Yeah, the GameCube. So the people GameCube. Still play on that. There's like competitive tournaments, and they play the GameCube one.
Ice Cube?
No, Ice Tea.
Oh yeah,
Ice Tea and Cocoa. You got it. Exactly what we're talking about. So
no doubt.
So that's it. So that's Davey's video game minute for this week. A little slow in the news this week, but we got our Overwatch news. We got our Fortnite news. What else? What do you want from me?
I don't know. That's good. I thought it was a great job.
Get off my back.
No, no one's on your back. You're good. All good. Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
What?
Ryan? Oh, it's just the topic of the day. Ryan, it is Daredevil Season 3, the 13-episode season on Netflix. This was Marvel Netflix's first ever show, and the way things are going, it could be their last. Not because this wasn't a good season, we'll get to that, but just because they're axing everything else. So we don't know the future yet of this show. At least at the time that we're recording this, we don't, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense, and the big speculation is that they're ending all of these contracts so Marvel can take all of these things for their own streaming service.
I know. Or like the Disney streaming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe you'll see these characters again. But let's focus on the season itself. And we will do, as we always do, begin spoiler-free. So if you've not gotten around to watching all 13 episodes yet, this is the spoiler-free portion. Ryan, let me ask you this. Did you like it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I feel very similar.
Oh, yes.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, life's too short, Ryan. I loved this season.
Did you love it?
Loved it. Did you love it?
I liked it.
Ooh, hesitation.
I liked it. I didn't love it. This has potential to love kind of thing.
Yes, yes. And you know? I'll tell you what. If you're a fan of Daredevil comics, and really, to me, there's the big three as it relates to Daredevil comics. There's the two by Frank Miller, Born Again and The Man Without Fear. And then there's also the Jeff Loeb kind of one-off Daredevil Yellow. So if you have read those three, specifically for this season, if you have read Born Again and you liked it, this is exactly
what that story is. And by the way, you named four. You said there were three big ones. You named four.
No, I didn't.
You said the two by
Frank Miller,
Born Again, and then The Man Without Fear. That's four.
No, Frank Miller did those two.
I know, but you said that there's a big... No, forget it.
You son of a bitch. Don't slow me down right now. I said the two by Frank Miller, and then I named the two by Frank Miller, and then I said Yellow. That's three books.
All right, fine.
Three is the number.
I'm just giving you the business.
We had fun. It's a little early for that. Yeah, we like to keep a loose clubhouse here.
Yeah, loose clubhouse.
Right. What did you think of the... I guess the story kind of was Born Again, so obviously the story was good. What about the action and the fights, which, again, Daredevil, going back to season one, even season two, has had some of the best comic book movie or TV show action fight scenes I think we've ever seen, and I think they continued it in this season.
And what the magic is, they always do one every season that's incredible. And this one is like, it doesn't miss a beat. The big one, you'll know it exactly when you see it. This isn't a spoiler because if you've watched the last two, you know it's always one shot.
Oh my god!
The camera never stops.
It was intense. Like I was like getting worked up watching it. I'm like, oh my god! Like this is, and then it just kept going, and you're just like, oh my god! Like this, it was just, and it's violent as shit too.
And you know what I love about those fight scenes is he, in the big ones like that, like he always has to like take a break.
He also takes a fucking beating.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he gets his ass kicked. And that's what's so great about Daredevil. And also, like, anytime there's a young Batman version where he's not, like, completely dominant yet and, like, not the, you know, because they're both human. Like, I know Daredevil has, you know, all of his senses are super heightened. But, like, they're human. And so, like, they fight and it's not, like, they don't just wipe the floor with guys. Like, they get the shit kicked out of them.
Yeah, and it happened to when the first time you saw the Punisher, too, when he did his prison fight.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was incredible.
He got, like, stabbed a bunch. Yeah.
You're like, he did not do well. Like, he would have lost on points if it wasn't for the knockout at the end.
Yeah.
Need the knockout here. The time's against him. Then the other thing we usually look at when we talk about movies or TV shows is the comedy, and there really wasn't any, I didn't think, right?
No, and I think there are certain characters in any cinematic, like comic book universe that aren't really funny. Like, you know, like Batman, for instance, is just,
yeah,
you can't make a funny Batman. Like anymore.
Right, he shouldn't be. Like George Clooney, like, will try it, but it's like, that's not, yeah, don't do that.
Like,
yeah, Daredevil's not.
Yeah, and like Spider-Man's kind of funny. Like Iron Man, like, has his moments where he's like charming and funny, and like Daredevil is just not funny at all.
No, he's not. And I think, I don't know, like, do they want Foggy to be funny? Because he's not really either at all.
Oh, we'll get into
he
that.
Sucks. We'll get to him.
Yeah, let's talk about, we get a lot of to unpack with Foggy.
So how does this fit within the MCU? I'm just kidding, Ryan. This is, it's a Netflix show, so they don't give a shit. The movies don't care. The shows don't care. It doesn't matter.
I feel like they did a little bit better, though, because there were things they kind of mentioned by name. There were things that they, right?
Nah, I don't know. We'll get to it in spoilers. Yeah. Like, I just think, whatever. It's not, we can get to more of that. As far as the Netflix universe, it picks up on stuff, you know, and again, we can get into that a little bit too. We'll see where it goes. I guess the next thing would be, is this the best Daredevil season?
Oof. That's actually kind of tough. I didn't expect you to ask me that question.
We do the hard hitting questions here on Hashtag Dork. That's what we're known for.
My gut says no.
I'm like Roy Firestone over here.
You are. I like the first season still.
Yeah.
I thought that was so good. But this is, I mean, Daredevil 1, 2, and 3 are incredible.
So admittedly, recency bias, I'm putting it number one. Now, that could change in like a week or two, or maybe if I go back and watch some of the other ones. So this is how, there's been 11 seasons of Marvel Netflix shows.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what my order is. And I know we sort of did this a little bit with Iron Fist and Luke Cage, but this is what my order is right now. I'm saying this right now, Daredevil season 3, the best. It was the best one. Jessica Jones season 1 to me is number 2. Then Daredevil season 2, then Daredevil season 1, then The Punisher. That's my top 5.
Yep.
Then I have Iron Fist season 2. I liked a lot. Then The Defenders, then I'll go Luke Cage 1, Luke Cage 2, Jessica Jones 2, and then Iron Fist 1 is still the worst for me.
I agree that Iron Fist 1 is still the worst. So the only thing I would do, my list is, the top 5 is the top 5
for me. Yes, like without question. And then you can jumble them around if you want.
And I was going to say, those are interchangeable. Like, that is like the top tier of those. And I liked Luke Cage season 1 slightly more than you did.
Yeah,
So I might put that ahead of the Defenders.
Yep.
But other than that, we're pretty spot on.
But that's the thing, is like, this show has been so good. Like, the worst Daredevil season is at worst the fourth best of, you know what I mean? Like, but it's just so good. And like, I really want to see another season of it, but we'll see what happens with that. I also think that, so Charlie Cox, who has played Daredevil in all 3 of these seasons, and he was in The Defenders as well, he is exactly what I would want Daredevil to be. Like, I think he is perfect at it. And if you look
great.
All of the MCU casting, like TV and movies, like, I know Robert Downey Jr. has really become Iron Man, and Iron Man has become Robert Downey, like, kind of vice versa. But, like, if you see Robert Downey in something, I don't say, oh, look, it's Iron Man. No, you say, no, that's Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
Whereas, like, if Charlie Cox is in anything ever again, like, he's Daredevil to me.
Well, I think they do a good enough job. He covers his face enough where that might not happen. But again,
he might be able to pull off somebody else. But, like, even the way he talks, though, like, the way he is, like, he's part, like, size-wise, like, his cadence, like, everything about him, like, this guy, it was perfect casting. And there's even a story.
Yeah, like the boxer stance, like when he fights, because he's a boxer. So, like, he has, like, that boxer stance, which is, you know, is dead on.
And it's got to be really tough to play blind when you're not.
Well, that's the thing that's incredible. Like, if you watch him interact with people and, like, his glasses are off, like, he never looks people in the eye.
No, it's got to be really tough.
It's really hard to do. I mean, like, you're taught, you know, you look people in the eye, but you can tell he, like, leans his head in and kind of tilts his head. So he's, like, listening, but he's looking over the shoulder.
He clearly did a lot of research on that. Like, he definitely, like, he pulls it off really well.
He spent some time with some blind people.
I think that he did. Also, there was a story a while ago. I think it might've been the Han Solo movie that he auditioned for. And he was saying that he was so into being Daredevil that he had like the worst audition ever, because like he couldn't even turn it off. Like he was still probably acting like Daredevil, and they were like, "The hell is this? Like,
yeah, what are you doing?
Huh?"
Like, you can. And so they're like waving their hands in front of his face, like, "We're, you know, we're here, right?
What are you? What are you doing? What is wrong with you?" But I think he's one of the. I think he's one of the best cast heroes. I think he does such a good job, like out of everybody. Like, and there's. But now, between all the movies, there's a zillion of them. And I would put him in the top five. Like, you're talking about, like, casting, like, from reading a comic book and then putting the guy on screen. Like, I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, for sure.
The villain this season, and we'll get into more of it in spoilers and all the different ones, but everybody knows just from the previews that Kingpin was back. And I know I was in the minority, but I was not wild about Kingpin in the first season. I know a lot of people liked him. I just thought it was too much. Like, some of the monologues, I thought it was overacting. But mm-hmm. I thought he was great in this season.
And what's great is that you get to see, because Kingpin, you get to see him kind of come up in Daredevil 1. Like, he's not Wilson Fisk, the Wilson mm-hmm. Fisk, the Kingpin yet, kind of. Like, mm-hmm. he's very well off. He's very wealthy, but he's not Kingpin.
He's not like in charge. Yeah, he's not like this. Right.
And you see kind of in this season how he does that. And he is slick. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And smart.
And he's dressed. Like, he's wearing the suits. He's wearing like the suits from the comics, like the like mm-hmm. the white suits all the time. Like, he looks legit. And he is well cast. Like, he kind of grew on me. Like, the first season, again, I was like, it's a lot of them. Season two, I liked it because he wasn't in it a ton, but they used him enough. And I'm like, all right, this is good. And then they went back to it, and you're like, man, again, you talk about villains in the MCU.
Yeah.
God, he's got to be in the top. Ones. Is he in the top five?
He's Marvel's Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he is. And like you would love to see him involved with Spider-Man at some point. Would love it. He even made a comment. It was funny. Somebody like me who is so upset with like the Netflix and the movies trying to sell you a bill of goods, like they're all in the same universe, even though they're not. And somebody tweeted at Vincent D'Onofrio, and he's a pretty active tweeter, by the way, if you follow him.
Yeah.
And he'll respond to people all the time. And somebody said, like, oh, what a shame that we'll never see Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin, like, in the MCU. And I forget what his exact quote was, but he retweeted it, and he was just like, why would you say that? Or like, yeah, like I wouldn't give up on that. Or like he basically like opening the door to it. And he might just be messing with us. He probably is. But it was like, oh, hello.
And I can tell he probably wants to.
Yes. But
that makes the bridge. Now it's real. You know what I mean? Like that's like one of those things. Like that. Now we've uncorked that bottle and we can't, you know what I mean? So now you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Now everything's connected.
So like Thanos and Killmonger. I would just say Purple Man, going back to Jessica Jones, and then Michael Keaton's Vulture. Like, those are the ones that jump out to me. Like, early on, Loki. I get a little much with Loki, but
Don't sleep on Zemo. Zemo's not dead.
Yeah, but is he one of the five best villains, you think?
I like Zemo.
All right, you like Zemo.
Yeah.
Although they never call him Baron Zemo, which is
a real shame.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Kingpin was great this season, and so we'll get to more of the characters, full character breakdown coming up. But first, Ryan, your hashtag dork score for Daredevil season 3.
5.5. Rock hard.
I'm going 6 right now.
You're going 6.
I'm going 6.
You're going woo! 6.
Going 6.
I would have had a 6, but there's we'll talk about it in spoilers.
Okay, fair enough. Anything else non-spoiler? I mean, obviously, we both highly recommend it. And, you know, if you like any of these Netflix shows, watch this one. And, the question, like, if you miss Luke Cage or Iron Fist, does not matter at all. Like, just
none
watch.
Of them matter.
None of them matter. You know, the first two Daredevils obviously help to know Daredevil. And maybe even, obviously, like, what happens at the end of Defenders. But still, like, even if you could pick it up. Like, you don't need to waste time on that.
Like,
if you don't want to.
I kind of forgot what happened to him at the end of Defenders, and I picked it up in, like, 5 minutes. Like,
right away. Like, there it is.
I think he mentions Jessica Jones once by name.
Yes. Yeah, he does. That's about it.
Which is good. And then other than that, if you could skip all of the other series, but watch Daredevil.
All right, let's get to spoilers.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, here we go. The first thing, and this maybe could have been non-spoiler, but I just wanted to throw this out there because as I was watching the Daredevil this season, but then thinking back on the other seasons and just his origin story, because obviously we learn a lot about his mother in this season, and we already knew about his father and just the whole idea of where he comes from. And I was putting it up there because you have to rank everything. That's really what you have to do.
That's what we have to do these days.
I have a hard time saying anything is better than anything that Batman does or is or was. But the Daredevil origin story, I think, is as good as the Batman origin story.
And the way they presented it in this series specifically was fascinating. Like, they changed things a little bit from Born Again. They changed it just a little bit. And there's one thing we'll get into in a little bit when talking about Maggie that I really, really liked. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But those little changes to make it a little bit more modern, a little bit more edgy, I thought were fantastic choices.
Because Batman, obviously, very straightforward. He is insanely wealthy, living in Gotham City, where you have all just the biggest city in the world, and his parents are insanely wealthy. He's a kid. They get gunned down in front of him. Boom. Like, unbelievable story. Like, great start, and you can see why he becomes the way that he is, and there you go. This, the Daredevil story is, so his mom is a nun, and then is kind of lured away from that. She falls in love with a boxer. Then they have a kid, and then she just can't handle it. Like some women, unfortunately, that happens to them. She can't handle it, freaks out, ends up going back to being a nun. So now his dad is a single dad, still a boxer. And, you know, you've all seen this play out, but he was supposed to, you know, throw a fight, didn't want to throw a fight, ends up getting killed. So same idea where it's, you know, a kid on his own and where he's going from, but the idea, you know, Bruce Wayne is a billionaire. Matt Murdock is not at all, right? At all. He's, you know, and his dad was a struggling boxer and a single dad. And then later on, you know, in Born Again and in this season, he finds out that his mom actually kind of helped raise him, but he never knew that it was her. Like, it was just, I think it's great. I was like, holy shit, like this guy. And if it wasn't for Frank Miller, this season or this show would never exist. Like, and he's the one who created, like, Stan Lee created Daredevil. So thank you, Stan Lee.
It was Frank,
we could say that about most characters. But then it was Frank Miller's stuff that put him, like, made Daredevil cool.
And isn't that, like, you could say the same thing. I put Frank Miller in the same breath as, like, Alan Moore. As, like, these, like, prolific comic book graphic novel writers. And while, like you said, the credit to Stan Lee and I forget who else created Daredevil, but it's really... this iteration of Daredevil is Frank Miller's character.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's fascinating. Like, and I think about what you were saying is like Batman versus Daredevil's origin story. Like, what would happen to Batman if you found out, like, after all this time, like, his mom was alive? Like, that would, like, break him psychologically.
Because then he'd be even motivated to do what he's doing anymore.
Right, because then you don't have a reason to do it anymore. You know, whereas a Daredevil, like, and one of the things that I really like about the Miller stuff, is it plays with Matt Murdock being like a devout Catholic. And
yeah, it's very religious. It's like one of the more religious books, like just like in Marvel.
And while it means a lot to him, like these are the people, the church people who grew up and teaching him about God and teaching and taking him to church. They're the people lying to him his whole life. So that's, while it's not crazy. Great, no, it's a crazy. Fantastic layer. That these people are like, and I think Maggie says it to him at one point, like, no matter what, like, you're still human.
Right.
Like, you're not a superhero. Like, you're human. And I think it was great because, like, everybody is in this story. Like, everybody kind of sucks in this story.
And that's why, like, I, you know, and it's funny because, like, I love comic books. I love superheroes. But I really am drawn more towards the humans. Like, Punisher and Green Arrow and Batman and Daredevil, like those have always been my more favorites. Like there's room for, you know, like the Deadpools and Wolverines and like some of the, like the crazy guys, like Iceman even, but it's the real characters. And that's what Netflix is perfect for. Like, you know, save Thor and Hulk for the big screen. You know what I mean? Like put those guys there and like, let's do a Doctor Strange movie and let's get crazy. But if you're going to do like these street level characters, it's perfect. And that's why, this is just so good. And going back on some of the origin stuff, but without like redoing it, you know, cause they already sort of let you know, like we saw young Matt Murdock in season one, right? Like we saw him, actually, I think it's the kid from Ozark actually.
Yes.
But so we see some of that. But this is like, here's something you didn't know about it. Now, if you read the comics, when they reveal in episode 8 that Maggie is his mother, you weren't surprised. Like,
I was not. No, I mean, at the end of season 2, when they said, go get Maggie, I was like, and you and I were like, oh,
we both said it. Yeah. And I mean, hopefully we didn't spoil that on the podcast when we did it at the time. But like, we sort of knew it. But so what I liked about it was they waited a while to reveal. But like, that wasn't like the shock ending or anything, like, because enough people watching would have been like, yeah, we know. Like, so like, you couldn't have ended the season on like, this is your mom. We're like, OK. So they did it in episode 8, and then it allowed you, what, 5 more episodes to sort of see what their relationship was going to be like at the end.
And it was great to see, for those of us in the know, it was great to see, like, how are they going to tell him and when, you know? Yeah.
And it was crazy, too, because, like, so he overhears her, and then he and her end up having the conversation with other people before they have it with each other.
Yes, which is bad.
That's not how you want to do it. But anyway, I thought Maggie, by the way, was great. Like, I thought she was a great actress. I thought she was really well done. You know, kind of like got like a toughness to her too.
But like, and there's always that, like, that Irish Catholic mom who, like, we grew up with. That, you know, you get that vibe from her for sure.
What about some of the best stuff? I mean, I thought a lot of the origin story stuff was some of the best stuff. But now the fight scene that you said that just jumped out to you.
Yeah, the one in the prison, which was just,
I think it was episode 4. Yeah.
Yeah, and he pretends to be, he steals Foggy's credentials, and Matt Murdock is on this like completely self-destructive path. Like,
holy smokes.
Bad. And it's part of, like, subconsciously, I think he was, you know, trying to kill himself at this point in the show.
Yeah, actually, at one point, he pretty much was just telling the guy, like, because he was...
Just kill me, yeah.
That was also pretty nuts, too. So he's recovering from what happens at the end of The Defenders, where most people think he's dead. Like, they even kind of reference it, I think, in Iron Fist or one of the previous shows they mention it. You know, Foggy and Karen aren't sure, but, you know, they haven't really given up. They're still paying his rent and everything else, but they're not really sure. So anyway, as he's recovering and... Then he's like, I'm going to go, like, try to stop crime. But he's like, you can't hear anything. And, like, so if all of his senses aren't locked up, like, he's still blind. So he's just, like, a mess out there. Yeah. And then so, like, one guy starts beating the shit out of him. And then he basically, like, asked him to kill him. But then, like, the cops came or something, and, like, they ran away. But, yeah, like, he wanted to die.
And, again, you know, growing up Catholic, you know, there's that thing where, like, you just don't do that. Like, you can't kill yourself.
Right.
But... You know, if someone else does it for you, then you're kind of off the hook. There's like that loophole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's messed up, but true.
I mean, that's just, you know, I think that's where his mind was. And I think that was one of the greatest parts, that the fact that every one of the characters was flawed. Like, every one of the characters, like, was, forgive the language, of course, but like kind of fucked up. And like, that was great to me.
Yeah, no, that was really good. I also, that fight, though, but like you were saying, going back to
I completely lost the original point.
No, but that's fine. Awesome. But that was as good of a fight in Netflix, I think, as we've seen.
Yeah.
Like, and that was one where you're like, oh, and it goes on forever, too. And you're kind of, you're like moving in your seat watching it. You're like, oh, my God. Like, he's just getting the shit kicked out of him. Like, more guys keep coming. It's all hallways. It's basically hallways. Yeah. You don't want to be in hallways or stairwells with that.
No, just tight. And what's it like? It's like 20 minutes. Like, it's long.
Yeah. It was pretty good. Another one of the fight scenes, a couple of times, him and Bullseye, once those guys get after each other, and it's just pretty badass seeing you got Bullseye now wearing the Daredevil costume. Oh, by the way, one of the best parts of this whole season, Daredevil's look. Holy shit, was that awesome. So he's got the old school. Ropes. Yeah, the Muay Thai ropes around his arms is incredible. Like, at first, because that was the outfit that he used in season 1. So it's like the old school ones, all black, got like the thing over his face, and then kind of like a little, like, what would you call it, like a tail in the back or however. Like,
well, I thought it was interesting that he created that again out of nun's habits, like nun clothes in the laundry.
Oh, it's not. It's crazy.
Like, just with a nice little wrinkle right there, you know?
But then I like it because there's just the all black alone. I'm like, fine. But then when he puts the ropes on his fists and wrists and forearms, I'm like, this guy looks fucking awesome. Like, I love that look.
I'm gonna help you out next year.
Yeah,
great Halloween costume.
That'd
be a great. That's cheap too.
That's amazing. Just
a little black cloth you can see through, little ropes, you know?
By the way, The Haunting of Hill House, which I think we should do an episode on next week. This isn't like a major spoiler, but one of the kids in it went as Daredevil on Halloween. Remember that?
No.
Not the kid from Hill House, but like when the kids are older.
Yes, I remember now.
Like, like Cheryl's son. And there's like, it's funny because it happens twice. There's like one conversation where the kid's like, I want to be Daredevil for Halloween. And they're like trying to tell him to be something else. And then like a few episodes later, they're going trick-or-treating. And he's wearing the all black like Daredevil outfit. I'm like, nice. Pretty good, well, Netflix.
Funny. Yeah, they buy him like the thing, like a blank mask. Like, it's fun to create it. And he's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. He's
like, I just want to wear this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that looked good. And then Bullseye, you know, never wearing like the ridiculous Bullseye suit from the comics. So he's just rocking the Daredevil.
They couldn't call him Bullseye because of the Fox X-Men thing. Because technically, isn't Bullseye a mutant?
Oh, God. Yeah, he might be.
But I think that's why they never actually said the name Bullseye. And never had him in costume.
That's a pain in the asshole. Come on.
Yeah.
Did they? I mean, I know they called him Dex the whole time. But they never called him Bullseye.
You know what though? It was better. It was better.
No, it was fine, and it was good because like just like Daredevil, like he never wore his costume in season one or in season three. He never really wore like the real costume. So like that's fine. You don't need to call him Bullseye. Now they do the thing at the very end. We can get to the ending scene later on, but like they show his eye and it looks like a little Bullseye there. But yeah, I thought the outfits were one of the best parts, and I like shows. Especially if you're going to do 13 episodes, it can't be just one villain. I mean, I guess it can be if the one villain's strong enough, like Jessica Jones season one. Mm-hmm. But the idea that you have Kingpin, like boom, Daredevil, Kingpin, good. But then Bullseye and how he goes from being in the FBI, then you learn about his backstory, and then like he's now launched into being a bad guy. Like that was pretty sweet.
And I thought the best part about that was like Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, like grooming him for that. Like he did that to him on purpose. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, that was awesome. So well orchestrated. Like he was,
and it was like a slow
puppet
simmer.
Master.
Yeah, and you could see it coming. Like you knew what he was doing. He had his file. He had his tapes. He was, you know, and he knew exactly how to play it. Like I thought that was brilliant.
Well, he even said there's a quote at one point early on, like episode five, maybe six, where Kingpin says the city needs a new villain. So you're just like, yeah, and so does the MCU, and now you've just created one, and he's a badass. He was good. Like the whole time I thought he was a good actor and like could kind of play like the crazy, but then like the super determined, like he was like able to turn it on and off. Like he was, he was really good.
And I thought like the whole thing with like Ricochet, like he fought with everything, like anything he could get his hands on, like he could kill somebody with
everything. And they showed it. Yeah. They did a good job without making it like cartoony.
Yeah.
You know, because that's sort of a weird character, like a guy that can just, you know, hit everything. But I also do like these characters, like, you know, Hawkeye, Green Arrow, Deadshot, Bullseye. Like, what a cool, like, ability that is.
And it was so funny. Like, I had, like, this really visceral, I had this squirming in my seat when they had the scene with him. Like, he had, like, the baseball glove, like, he was dealing with the coach, and the coach, like, took him out of the game, like, pitching. Like,
oh, yeah, when they were showing the flashbacks.
And
in,
we
like,
all saw kids do that. You know, like playing on baseball teams, like growing up, you saw that kid like do that, like freak out for like being taken out of a game.
Oh, I thought you meant throw the ball off of the thing and hit their coach.
No.
I'm like, I got my little league.
No, but like, you know, everyone knows that kid.
Just have like a meltdown, like needed to finish the game. You're like, bro, just get out of the game.
Just get out of the game. It's fine. Like everyone has to play. He's like, no, you know, you like throw shit and like just goes bananas. Like everyone knows that kid, you know?
Well, you're right. And that was well done, but just. And the whole idea of Bullseye having these tapes and then Kingpin and Daredevil getting to hear the tapes. So now they know what buttons to push for them. Like that was really good. Another little baseball scene, which I found kind of interesting. I don't know if they intended it to be this way, but like I thought of it as like another way why he's a villain. So Dex is talking with Ray Nadim's son, and his son's probably like 10, like he's pretty young, and Dex is teaching him how to throw a curveball, and most people wouldn't think that's a big deal, but for me I'm like, that's kind of a decision that like the father makes, because it can fuck up your elbow, like you're not really supposed to throw him when you're too young. So I'm like, him, like as simple as that, I was like, that's a nice little detail.
That's and like you always heard that, like growing up playing little league, like you can't throw too many curveballs. Like it'll, like it puts too much strain on your ulnar nerve. Like
I don't think I threw a curveball. I don't think I threw a curveball till like middle school. Like I definitely in Little League, I just threw gas. That was it.
I don't think they're allowed. I don't think you can in Little League.
Really?
I don't think you're. Yeah, and like your first couple of years, like Little League, I don't think you're allowed to throw curveballs.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I mean it's definitely not good for you. But he was teaching him how to do it, which I thought was pretty funny. Obviously that scene where they go to the Bolton and
yes,
he shows, but like what a cool idea too, like of just having, so Kingpin obviously hates Daredevil, so then he has Bullseye dress up as Daredevil and then make sure that he says hello to Karen, so it's like everybody thinks that it's really him. Like that's yeah, pretty smart.
And like again, like he's throwing like office supplies at people and killing them, like he's throwing like pens and pencils,
everything. Anything goes. Yeah. Also, they do a good job of once again bringing back Melvin Potter, who we've seen previously in Daredevil seasons, and mm-hmm, he eventually becomes the Gladiator, and there's more like a Gladiator stuff in his shop again, but he's not there yet. So you got to wonder if they make another season, if he is going to be finally a villain.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. I don't know.
Hopefully.
What else did you like, or is there any couple things that you didn't like?
No, let's get into characters, because this is the part, like, the part I like most is the character development of everybody in the show, minus
one. All right, do you want to start with Daredevil, or did we already say enough about
him? We kind of already talked about it, the playing with the themes that, like, Miller's themes of, you know, the Catholic upbringing and the guilt and, you know, all of this stuff that kind of go into what makes Daredevil tick, I thought was on full display here, which was brilliant. Yeah. And probably the most fleshed out Marvel character, maybe in the movies or TV shows.
I think so. And that's, and you know, maybe that should be the case. 'Cause you think about him, he has had more episodes than anybody else. Like there's more time on screen for Daredevil than any other character, I would assume. Right. 'Cause even in the movies, even the guys that are in multiple movies, you're talking about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So he has had 3 13-hour episodes. So
yeah.
he's extremely fleshed out. Like he is as three-dimensional a character as you're going to find.
And they went, and like I said, it's been 26 episodes and at the start of season 3, and they just go deeper and deeper and deeper into this character, which I thought was pretty amazing if you think about it.
Yeah, I thought so too. I'm like, they just keep finding a way. And it was funny because I even had high hopes just because I've liked Daredevil. And like one of the few headlines I read was, oh, it's the best season. I'm like, yeah, we'll see about that. Like those seasons were pretty good. Like, let's see how it goes. Then I'm like, fuck, this might be the best.
Yeah.
Might be the best season. And it's because it's a good mixture. Because like Bullseye and Kingpin are two of, if not the two best Daredevil villains.
Yes.
So you put both of them in there together. As much as I like the Punisher and Elektra, and then season 1 with mostly Kingpin, like those were great, but this one, that next level, plus I like the character of Maggie so much, and like the whole idea of like his mom, his mom knew that, you know, helped raise her son essentially, but he just never knew that it was her. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
As for Dex, very well done. Like for an intro, like he would be a rookie of the year for this season, getting introduced here. I like the actor too. I don't know what the hell his name is. I have it pulled up here somewhere.
Some British kid.
Yeah, what the hell is his name? Oh, Wilson Bethel.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell. But he was good.
You know him now. We'll know him now.
I think he auditioned for, I don't know if it was Captain America back in the day, or there was like one of these like characters recently I think he was like in the mix for, but he was good. He was really good, and I want to see more of him.
Crazy. Yeah, more of him all the time. And I think, you know, having him be like Wilson Fisk's bodyguard
is an
awesome little twist there.
I also thought, yeah, again, Wilson Fisk was good. And some of the stuff that they did, you know, him talking to Daredevil, like when Daredevil's kind of like hallucinating a little bit, like some of those scenes were pretty good.
Because he's got real estate there.
He's in his head. He's in Bullseye's head too. And so you really, like to your point earlier, like you got to see what he's capable of. Like,
and it's not
first of all, this is a bad look for the FBI. This whole show is a terrible look for, like he owned the entire FBI.
Well, it's that, you know, and maybe, you know, not to get, we don't like to get political in hashtag dork, but the idea that the super wealthy can kind of play by their own rules. and like the downtrodden and the poor people like play by a different set of rules. So like, you know, in he gets a guy, we're into spoilers now, so he gets a guy to stab him in prison, so he gets to get moved out, and you know he's going to cooperate, and he somehow finagles it to like be in this penthouse with like, and eventually he gets all his stuff back, and the whole thing is like he's just taking New York over again.
Right.
But just like the FBI is like his gang, it blew my mind. Like that they, and it got a little frustrating at times because you're like, why is the FBI this stupid?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And we'll get into, so I'll skip ahead a little bit. And like was the best part of the character of Ray Nadim was that he was so desperate for a win. And because he was struggling and, you know, he's struggling to his sister-in-law was sick. And
well, it's crazy. It was like how far out Kingpin planned all that.
Yeah. And like he basically like pegged this guy, like earmarked this guy.
Right.
And he broke him, which was awesome because the guy was so desperate for a win that he was willing to do anything to like make this, you know, career making case. And at the end, you know, Wilson Fisk just like fucked him.
And I believe he's one of the few guys that was a TV original. Like, I don't think he's in the comics, whereas like every other character is.
I don't remember seeing
I never remember him if he was.
But it was great. It was great. One, the character was pretty good. I remember the cop in The Punisher, like, wasn't very good. The detective there or whatever.
I know who you're talking about.
But Ray Nadim was believable. He was a family guy.
He was good. His wife was good. Like he bothered you at some times, but he was supposed to. Like when he thought Karen was full of shit and stuff, you're like, all right, that's the character. But
again, a guy just like so desperate that he was willing. And, it's like that line from The Dark Knight. You know, they put their faith in someone they didn't understand. Mm-hmm. They didn't fully understand. Yeah. So I thought that was a great character.
Going back to Kingpin for a minute, do you think that Vanessa even likes him?
I think it's like a partnership now. You know what I mean? I think
it's weird though, because he's like obsessed with her and like everything he does is for her and like he just wants to protect her. So then he gets her back. He's doing whatever she can. And I understand that she's like, all right, like I don't want to be like told like what's going on, or like, I don't want to just like have a list of things. I want to be like a co-kingpin, I guess.
So
I don't know, like I don't know if she's like attracted to him or likes it. Like, she doesn't seem, and I don't know if it's like an acting choice or it just comes across as like she has no interest in him.
I think again it started as him kind of one-sided, but I think now they see it as like a partnership.
Yeah,
you know, which I think she's kind of into.
Think he is.
No,
like when I think he was happy that she was happy for a moment, but then as soon as she was like, oh, like you need to kill, like how much does Officer Nadim know, like, all right, you need, or Detective Nadim, like you need to kill him, and then he's like, all right, like it's kind of my choice, not yours, you know?
Yeah. But the second he brought her into that room, you knew that, like, this is different now, you know?
Game changer. How about that scene where he's in the car with the guy sitting next to him in the back seat? He's like, give me your jacket. The guy takes his jacket off. He wraps it around his head and then just beats him to death. I was like, holy shit.
Well, that's the great part of this character is that he's, like, this massive figure.
But he's also so strong. Like, he has superhuman strength.
Yeah, but it's also, like... And you remember the scene in the first Daredevil where he crushed the guy's head with, a car door? Like,
yeah,
that was horrifying. So there's, like, those two sides of it where, like...
He's very... he is very violent. And it's, like they were showing it in the jail, too. But, like, he's not a mutant or anything, but, like, he's, like, one of the strongest dudes there is. Like, he's as strong as a human can be.
Yeah. And it plays to both those strengths, you know. So like I can kill you with my bare hands, or I can just break you mentally, you know.
Oh, something else that I just thought of. So that going back to Dex for a second. So there's the one scene at the end where he has like his girlfriend, or not his girlfriend, but the girl that he wanted to like have her be like his new shrink who's dead. He has her in the front seat and she's dead, and he's driving
that was so
in.
Creepy.
That was messed up, but that was like a good like this guy's nuts scene. So he's wearing the Daredevil outfit and he drives up and he sees a guy in the FBI and he like rolls his window down. He's like, you know, basically like, let me through. And the guy looks at him for 2 seconds and he goes, Dex? And at that point, I was like, you can't do that because you've had Daredevil talk to like Foggy and Karen in the first season and they didn't know it was him. And Matt Murdock's outfit now is pretty bullshit. Like he has a little like, he has a scarf over his head that goes to like his nose, but you can see his whole mouth, his like his jaw, his neck, his chin. Like if he's talking to you, you would definitely know it was him. And it's like, unless you want to just be in the world where art, that doesn't exist. But then they just fucking did the other thing with Bullseye.
How does he see out of those eye holes?
That's a good question. And he seems, I mean, maybe they're just tinted and it doesn't maybe matter. Tinted.
Maybe they're just like,
maybe they're sunglasses. Just tinted. That's all I can, think of. As for Maggie, like we talked, I thought she was just a great actress and I thought she was really good because she was definitely, she's a nun, but she obviously had like a little bit of like, it was very believable that she was somebody that left for like a little bit and then came back. You know what I mean? Like she wasn't 100% in.
And and you could tell just the way she talked to Matt, knowing that it's her son, but also the way she talked to other people. Like she wasn't, she was real. Like it was a real character. And having the younger actress play younger Maggie, like I've seen people go through like the postpartum depression and stuff. And it's just, it's horrifying. It's heavy, heavy stuff. And it's they handled it.
Yeah.
It was respectful and it's real. Like it's that stuff happens. And what a nice little like nod to, you know, and I think a lot of it was, you know, dealing with like mental health, like this whole issue. And, you know, the people who were successful are the people who had support and the people who weren't were, you know, didn't have any. And that's a big, by the way, that's a big Movember plug, by the way.
There you go.
Men talking about mental health and all those things.
Good stuff. It's circular. It's up, circular. Down, and around. You pay the quarter, you get on the ride, you go up, down, and around.
And it was a important choice, I think, and very well done.
I thought so
that,
for sure.
That character, for sure.
Right, here's one of my hangups. Now, I mean, I guess I still gave it a 6, but the episode 10 was essentially like the Karen Page episode.
Yeah.
And so it ultimately ended. Like, it wasn't just Karen Page. Like, Daredevil and Bullseye have the fight in the church, which is obviously in the comics, and it was even actually in the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie, which, super warm take here, Ryan, not that bad of a movie. There's bad stuff in it, don't get me wrong, but if you're talking early 2000s comic book movie, I didn't hate it, but that's not what we're here for.
Warmer take?
Yeah.
Affleck wasn't the problem in that movie. Jennifer Garner was.
Ooh, not bad. Not bad.
Colin Farrell was. It wasn't Ben Affleck.
He didn't need to carve a bullseye into his head.
No.
But anyway, I digress. Anyway. So they have that crazy scene and all the stuff at the thing, and even in one of the comics, Karen dies in the church, so they give you like that little fake out. Like that's why when the other priest jumps in front and she's just like, she does like the eyes, like you think it's her. So that was like sort of a call to the comics. But most of that episode was a flashback to Karen. And because I had asked this question back even during season 1 or 2 when we were talking about this, I was like, all right, Frank Miller had Karen Page like as a heroin addict, and she gave away Daredevil's identity just to get like one more hit. Like
just
she was
high. Yeah.
Cause she even made a comment like at one point, she's like, oh, I was doing like BJs for heroin or whatever. And you're like, but she wasn't in the show, but like, she was just kind of, I think that's sort of a nod to like, all right, we know this happened in the comics, but what I don't like about it is that wasn't how, like they used Karen in that one scene to like confirm that Matt was Daredevil, but she's like so clean now. Like she's nowhere near what she was then. So it was kind of weird to me that they kind of like forced in like this drug habit back in the day angle.
Yeah. And the thing was, they did it enough when, remember the guy who stabbed Fisk in prison, like she was going to like help him, or they went and found him.
Mm-hmm.
And like she like did drugs like to get into that, like she bought drugs to like get into that house, like that would have been enough,
right?
And I think you could have done like a little bit of a flashback, but it didn't need to be it stopped the momentum of the show, and it didn't need to be a whole episode.
I was gonna say it wasn't as bad as the 11 is on the run Stranger Things 2 episode, which really just derailed everything. And at least they circled back, so it wasn't like a full 55 minutes of that.
But it was a lot though. And it's funny, like you know, like why didn't she leave? Like why didn't she get out of the city? And like she really had nowhere to go. Like, I mean, that's another like layer to that character, which is great. But again, I don't think you needed the whole episode.
Yeah, you needed the whole, right, exactly. Because she called her dad, and dad's like, oh, now's not a good time. And then you realize why. Yeah, like everything what happened with her brother and like what she said to her dad and all that stuff. So I was like, oh, it was fine. So like they're not gonna go to that angle. Like definitely the hair, like yeah, like while she's with or like while she knows Foggy and Daredevil, she's not gonna become a drug addict. At least I don't think so.
Oh, maybe, who knows? But like not my favorite episode, but definitely not the worst part of the show.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Now Foggy,
that's the worst part of the show.
He sucks, man. But he's sucked all every season he's been in.
But he's just such like a dope. You know what I mean? Like
Let me ask you an honest question.
Yeah.
How in the wide world of sports is Foggy with that girl Marcy?
No idea. And that's just it. Like it's his character. Like all these characters are believable except for Foggy. Like
right.
And he is just a shell of himself. Remember he's Fulton Reed.
He's one of the Bash Brothers.
In the world. He's one of the Bash Brothers.
He was a cool dude.
Yeah, he was now he's just like the
he's like a hump of a guy.
And just like a little as a little turd, I can say this because like speaking of as one of our own, but he's just like a human chode.
He's a bit of a chode.
And I'll tell you what, a terrible actor.
Not enough people are talking about Marcy. She's like fire poker hot. Like
hot you to see, trot.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the whole thing with like Foggy's family, like he's like this ultra successful lawyer, but like none of them are happy for him. They want him to come like run the meat store. Like,
yeah, they're like, you got to sell these sausages.
And I'm running for district attorney like poorly as like a write-in candidate.
Yeah.
Like that's, come on, man. That whole thing was useless.
Not good. I've three other quick little like Easter egg type things. You mentioned mentioned Jessica Jones. So at the end when they're like, oh, they're back together. It's going to be Nelson, Murdoch and Paige.
Mm-hmm.
And so Karen's like, well, I'm not a lawyer. And they're like, well, you're a great private investigator. And then Matt says, you're way more stable than Jessica Jones. So that's like the one reference to her. Also when Kingpin was like meeting up with a lot of the other like mob bosses, Rosalie Carbone is in there, who was in the last season of, was it Luke Cage?
Luke Cage. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So they're kind of expanding that a little bit. So I liked her showing up for an episode. That was good.
And she had some lines. You know,
she did. She did. She was good. Now the ending scene, Ryan, the very end is, so actually pretty cool scene when you have like the we didn't even talk about like the triple threat match where
in the
Kingpin's penthouse with Kingpin, Bullseye and Daredevil, and Kingpin picks up the Bullseye, just smashes his back on like the corner of like a brick wall. Like it was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
So he goes down. So the last scene that you see is his whole spine is just like cut open and you have two or three doctors doing work on him. One of the doctors is Dr. Oyama, who also in the comics is Lord Darkwind.
Oh.
And that opens up Wolverine and Adamantium. I don't think they can say Adamantium. I think, that's a fuck. They can't say that. But this could open up X-Men, Ryan. Well, Dr. Oyama.
You know what's funny is, like, I wondered why, because there was a, when they were, the two doctors were talking to each other, they were mentioning, like, how risky the surgery was.
Mm-hmm.
And Oyama says to him, he says to the other doctor, he goes, he's part of this program voluntarily or something like that. And I'm like, that's weird.
Yes.
But I didn't connect those dots. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. So they zoom in. So you get something here on hashtag dark. Mm-hmm. So they zoom in and like, you know, his eye opens up and it's got like, you know, like the bullseye or whatever on it. But really the more interesting thing is, can this open up X-Men or maybe just Dr. Oyama? If there's a Daredevil season 4, maybe he becomes a villain. Also, if this works, which I assume it will, like Bullseye will be even more indestructible now. Like he won't be able to feel pain.
Yeah.
So pretty interesting stuff, if you don't mind me saying.
He can feel that emotional pain, though.
They can get in his head. They can crawl around there, set up shop. They set up a campfire. They'll be in there. Ryan, do you want to see a season 4?
Hell yeah.
Of course. Of course. If so, do you want to see anybody new? Because I feel like Kingpin and Bullseye would be shoo-ins, even if it's limited roles for either one. Like, who knows what's going on with Kingpin now? Like, he could be in prison again. But Kingpin, Bullseye, maybe Dr. Oyama, maybe Gladiator. Is there anybody else that you want to open it up to?
Bring Elektra back.
Yeah. Bring her, dust her off, bring her back.
No more.
Oh, Stick was another guy who was a big character in the first couple seasons. He's obviously gone.
But he's another guy who forgot to mention. Pick of the pod.
I mean, the answer would be Spider-Man. If you could just get Spider-Man
obviously
somehow.
We want some Daredevil Spider-Man crossover.
Even Electro would be good, but are they doing Electro or no? Do they own Electro? They might not.
Well, you're going to bring Jamie Foxx to do Electro?
No, that Electro is dead. Bring a new Electro.
Yeah. Or is he just pure energy now?
I'm just trying to think some of the like Daredevil comics that I've read, some of the guys they've used. Actually, they used Nuke. Remember, he was in Jessica Jones. Remember, they used him before.
Yep. Didn't he do some stuff with Wolverine? Did Daredevil and Wolverine do some stuff?
Probably, yeah. I think they did. Daredevil, Punisher, they already did. Really, anybody in New York.
Anyone in New York. Fantastic Four, you know, but Spider-Man's the one.
Fantastic Four would be sweet. Give them a Netflix series just to get the popularity back up again.
Yeah.
But that's it, man, for Daredevil Season 3. You got anything else?
No, watch it. It's good shit. I could talk about the character development and all that stuff at length, but we'll let you just watch it, and you can tweet at us. If you have any questions or concerns or thoughts, you know where to find us.
Yes, at Dork Podcast and dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Really on any of the Netflix Marvel shows that you guys have watched, but particularly the Daredevil ones, let us know. Obviously, I'm sure we've missed plenty of stuff as well, so hit us up with things that maybe we missed in there. Let's get on to the pick of the pod.
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 All right, Ryan, kick, receive, defer, or you can defend a goal.
I will receive this week.
Okay.
I do a lot of deferring and a lot of kicking, a lot of punting to you. So I'm going to receive this week. On Amazon Prime Video, if you're a fan of True Detective and Nick Pizzolatto? Anyway, the guy who created True Detective.
Pizzafritz.
He is a author, and he wrote a book called Galveston. And there is a movie starring Ben Foster and Elle Fanning. Which if you're into like that guy's style of writing, it's pretty good. It was a good book. Ben Foster is incredible in like everything. So
was Ben Foster Archangel in X-Men Last Stand?
He was Angel, but he was also, if you saw him in, what's that movie?
Punisher with Justin Timberlake? Wasn't he in the Thomas Jane Punisher movie?
He was, but he was also in, what was the movie? Something Dog. I can't remember.
Dog?
The one with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Alpha Dog?
Alpha Dog. So he's an Alpha Dog, which is great. 310 to Yuma. He was awesome.
Oh, right.
Let's see.
Right.
He wasn't the Punisher. But he plays great crazy. He was in a movie called Leave No Trace, which I just saw, which the Boxers just reviewed. I liked it more than they did.
They he ripped was also in the Punisher movie he was in. He had all those piercings, and the guy ripped them all out, remember? And, like, he wouldn't say where Punisher was.
Which remember him in 30 Days of Night? Where he played, like,
Dude, 30 Days of Night's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. And what a great premise. It feels like fucking 30 Days of Night here, by the way, since Daylight Savings.
What the hell's going on?
I looked at my wife. I was like, what is it? Fucking midnight? And it was, like, 6:02. I was like, Jesus.
Anyway, your pick of the pod.
Ryan, you might not believe me, but I loved the Adam Sandler Netflix special.
Come on.
Loved it.
Loved it.
I was in tears at one point laughing. I had such a great time with it. I had so much fun. So it's shot really well. Like, whether you think it's funny or not, you can't deny that it's shot really well, because he must have done this act in like a million places. And it's one of those specials where,
oh, it's like shot together with like different.
Yeah, so he's like in like a different spot. He keeps bouncing around. So he'll tell a few jokes, then he plays a few songs, like a lot of short songs. So if you liked his CDs, which I was like obsessed with, and his tapes, but you know, when it's a lot of that kind of stuff. He also at the end does a song about Chris Farley, which is really good too. Just talking about
like
how he misses his friend.
Funny or like nice?
More nice than funny, but like some good lines in there too. Yeah. But some really good. Like honestly, it's legit funny, and it's not like crazy dirty, but it's not PG-13 at all either. You know, okay. So like it's good Adam Sandler.
Last bit I'll leave you with too, and I'll get crushed because I just popped into my head more Ben Foster stuff.
Oh, good.
Just married to Laura Prepon of that 70s show.
How, small Donna. World, huh?
And she's probably, she's got to be like a foot taller than him, right?
She's very tall. She was good in Slackers.
Yeah, she was. We always going to make a Slackers reference now from his Slackers, point yeah. out.
Cool Ethan. Yeah.
And I would say, before anyone says anything, Ben Foster's best movie by far is Hell or High Water.
I've not seen that movie yet.
See Hell or High Water. It's awesome. Do you watch No Country for Old Men?
I did like that, yeah.
It's better than that.
Dude, you know what movie it's better than that?
I think so.
Oh, wow.
It's like that, but better.
You know what movie I just saw recently, and I guess this fits pick of the pod. I could have saved it for next week, but I want to tell you now. It somehow slipped through the cracks. Like, it was one where as soon as I saw the previews, I'm like, oh, I want to see that. But it's been out for like 2 or 3 years now. It's actually on Netflix, and I never saw it until recently. Ex Machina.
Oh, awesome movie.
Oh, my God, is it awesome. I don't know why I didn't. Like, it was one of those ones where just for a number of reasons, I didn't see it. Like, I don't know why. I didn't. And finally sat down and watched it. I was like, I'll start it, see how it is. It just loved it.
Just sucks you in from the beginning.
To have, basically three characters, that's it. It's almost like 10 Cloverfield Lane, where it's like, these are the three people that you're going to talk to the whole movie. And it's going to be quick paced, and it's just going to be great story and just kind of a nice twist. Like, just awesome. Awesome.
And fun stuff. I watched 10 Cloverfield Lane again, and it's better the second time you see it.
Oh, I got to do that. I haven't watched it. I don't think in a long, and maybe since the theater, like it's been
Mary
a while since I've seen it.
Elizabeth Winstead. Boom, bam. There you go. There's the reason to watch that movie.
You're not going to get a better actress going. I can't find one.
She's so good.
All right, Ryan, that's going to do it. Next week, what do you say? The Haunting of Hill House?
Let's do it. Let's do Hill House.
We're going to do Hill House, so check that out. It's only 10 episodes, also a Netflix show, so check out Hill House. Would have fit nicely in Dorktober, but I was not done in time. And there's a lot to unpack with Hill House.
There is.
So give that a watch, and we will talk about it next week. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. Our YouTube channel is just youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And Davey, be twitching
at Arvon D on any social media. Check out Movember.com. Check out my MoSpace on there. Please consider donating to this very worthy cause. And on Instagram, I just found out, I've been saying this, Arvon D on all social medias. I'm actually Arvon D 603 on Instagram.
Oh, there's the problem. That's the hang up. There it is.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Actually, Dork Podcast has an Instagram. We've never really used it, but it's...
Yeah, I'm supposed to be running it, but I don't leave my house, so it's kind of difficult to do Dork Podcast.
You should just take pictures
stuff.
Of, your shoes and stuff and just be like, this is... Or, your computer setup. Actually, people probably want to see your setup.
People want to see my rig.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, another perfect episode.
We did it.
Hashtag, it's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.